First Chronicles chapter 4. We are in the genealogies here, and we've been talking about the family of Caleb. It's the first time we have this name Jabez mentioned, and it says that there was a city, apparently, Jabez. In verse 55 of 1 Chronicles 3, it says, "And the families of the scribes who dwelt at Jabez." So apparently a city or a community or a region was named after this fellow Jabez. And his prayer is the one we want to look at in chapter 4. And in chapter 4 is the only other two times in the Bible this name is mentioned. Actually, it's three times, twice in verse 9 and once in verse 10. But in verse 9 we read, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name," probably Jabez, not Jabez, but anyway, whatever you want to call it, Jabez, "saying, because I bore him in pain, and Jabez called on the name of Israel," called on the name of the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me, number one, indeed, and number two, enlarge my territory, and number three, your hand would be with me, and number four, that you would keep me from evil, and really number five, that I may not cause pain." And then we have this beautiful answer, "So God granted him what he had requested." This is not on the same scale, but a little bit like Melchizedek. You know, this name comes up, and we don't have any real genealogy of who this Jabez is. He's shown under the family of Judah here, because the first, verses 1 through 23 are all the family of Judah in chapter 4 of Chronicles, so he must be in the family of Judah. But it doesn't really give his name, so we don't exactly know. But what can we learn about this that we do know? Well, number one, it says he was more honorable. And all we know from that statement is what we're given here. And one of the things we know is that he was a man of prayer, because it says he called on the God of Israel. So he's a man of prayer. And maybe there were other aspects of his life that were more honorable, I don't know. But in here, all we're told about, he was a man of prayer. Now, his mom named him Jabez, and that can be translated really sorrow or pain. And in the Bible here, in the New King James, it's saying, "because I bore him in pain," is kind of the definition they give here. Another definition just as good is he will cause pain. And so he will cause pain is, now how would you like to have a mother naming you, "This is my son, he will cause pain." But that is a perfect definition here of Jabez. But look at what he did. Verse 10, he called, Karah, he called on the God of Israel. So he's praying. And here's his prayer. It's fivefold here. Number one, "Oh, that you, Lord, would bless me indeed." Bless me indeed. Now, one of the things that always strikes me in the Old Testament prayers, and I think we need to be careful and not be too critical of the people. For example, we mentioned this last time with Hezekiah's prayer. Hezekiah's prayer is praying to the Lord, and he's telling the Lord how good he is. And that may not be too bad an idea in the Old Covenant, because in the Old Covenant you had the if and the then. If you do these good things, then I will bless you. If you do these bad things, I will curse you. But now Jesus Christ has replaced that if. He is our if. He has done it. So now we want to come all in the name of Jesus. And yes, Lord, bless me. But I think almost as we ask the Lord to bless us, rather than just bless me, and certainly not bless my sin, what would be in our own lives that's causing the blessings not to be coming to us? And maybe think about that a little more than just bless me, Lord, just bless me. I mean, we say this statement, "God bless America," after every horrible political speech filled with deceit and lying and what have you, and then we say, "God bless America." I mean, that is doesn't mean much, does it? I don't think so. So the same way with us, if we say, "Lord, I know I'm in sin, but bless me," I don't think that's really right. So anyway, as we look at this, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed," maybe we'd add a couple of words in there, "Oh, that you would find me blessable, Lord, and reveal to me anything in my life that needs to go or needs to be added," whatever. You know, like in Jude, we want to keep ourselves in the love of God, right? That's where we want to be. Secondly, enlarge my territory. Now, this is a good prayer. I think the context here probably, since this is pretty much in the time of Joshua and Caleb, was probably in the time of the conquest. And it was a good prayer when they went into the land to increase their territory, because they were basically, you know, every place they put their foot down, the Lord was giving them that land to be taken away from the pagans. But to enlarge my territory in that context seems to make sense there. Now, we also have in Isaiah 54, you know, where we're to enlarge basically our area. And I would look at this in terms of praying today for you and I, enlarge my ministry, enlarge my effectiveness of my ministry, and do I really want that enlarged? Because when I pray for enlarging my ministry, that's going to require some additional either commitment or additional sacrifice or certainly additional prayer, because I just can't expect, oh, Lord, double my ministry, and I'm just going to continue to put in the same amount of, you know, commitment and effort that I've been putting in the past. It doesn't seem like you're going to be able to do a very good job with twice the ministry and just, you know. So enlarge my territory. I think that is another prayer request that we need to think through a little bit Lord, enable me to do all you want me to do, Lord. And be content with where the Lord has you, because promotion comes from the Lord. Right. And if the Lord has you in a small ministry, be content there. Don't say, well, I want the ministry that guy over there has. He's got bigger ministry than I want his ministry. No, no, no. Be content with what you have and be available for the Lord to expand that. Because, you know, we read the concept in the scripture, what he who is faithful in small things, the Lord grants him more, right? And then the third thing, obviously, that your hand would be upon me or would be with me. Absolutely. Good prayer. We need to be in that prayer all the time, don't we? Lord, may your hand be with me. May you strengthen me and uphold me. I think of Isaiah 41:10, fear not. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so, yes, Lord, may your hand be with me. And then finally, keep me from evil. Now, that's very similar to the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Deliver me from evil, or the evil one. And so, yes, that's a good prayer to keep us from evil. Now, the evil one, and also from yielding to temptation, right? I think that's a good prayer. And then the Jabez, or the Jabez name here, causing pain. He says, what, that I may not cause pain. And isn't that a good prayer for you and I, that we wouldn't cause others pain, and we wouldn't cause others to stumble, and we wouldn't cause others to be distracted from what God is doing in their lives. I like the exhortation Hebrews chapter 10, you know, after 9.5 chapters of doctrine, then we have some exhortations, and one is to draw near, right, with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and the second one is to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, but the third one is to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And when you think that through, that's usually not the way we consider others. I usually consider others either as maybe a competition, or others as, God forbid, a place of covetousness or envy or whatever, or carnal comparison. But no, we're to consider one another to stir up love and good works in them. And that takes a whole different attitude, doesn't it? So here, I may not cause pain. And that is a good prayer. So he's mentioned five things here, calling on the Lord, and then we see the response here, which is so wonderful, God granted him what he requested. I just love the number of times in the scripture that we have the acknowledgement that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. And so every time we see one of these prayers in the Bible where God answered it, I'd like to go back and look at it again and say, you know, why did he answer it? Well, I think 1 John 5:14 comes to mind. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, he will grant us the petitions that we have asked. So if we're praying in accordance with his will, we have that confidence that he will hear us. And here These things apparently were in accordance with God's will. He did hear them. He did grant Jabez what he requested. May he grant you and I what we request, because our prayers are appropriate and proper in keeping with his will, and not to benefit us. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, for example. We want all we can get, but not for our use. It's for building up the body of Christ, isn't it? Enlarging your ministry, it's not for your use. It's to be more effective. And that the Lord would be with you, his hand would be with you, he would keep you from evil. Yes, all good things. And that we would not cause pain.